Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Are you serious, dude? Like shit in your pants. Don't shit on my, don't roll down your drawers and shit in my bus. Like, what the fuck is your deal?
What's up, folks? It's a choke job edition of Hitting the High Notes Jazz Talk. As I am here, you can follow me on the Twitterverse at Jazz High Notes number 2, or I'm at Who Trans Superman, HUUTRN Superman. And, you know, without further ado, let's bring on the Squatches of Dragon. Dragon Squatch himself. Logan, what's up, man?
Just hanging in here on a Wednesday night.
Wednesday night. We're, no jazz play on Tuesday.
Night one of my NBA protests.
Yes, boycotting the NBA for the mistreatment or non-treatment of Draymond Green, which we'll get to in a little bit. But the Jazz play on Tuesday, Friday, Sunday this week. Very kind of a weird schedule. One of the first, five. I can't remember how many Sunday, but the Jazz have a lot of Sunday home games this year or so. Gonna be weird and interesting to see how that works out for the fan base. So the first, I think one of the games is an in-season tournament game, and you know we'll save that for a little bit later. Let's pay the bills before we
They have an in-season tournament game on Sunday. I thought those in-season games was Tuesdays and Fridays.
I didn't finish my thought. One of them is an in-season tournament game. One of them is a regular season game, and. It's the same point. It's all, it's all a little confusing, which is, for the play-in season tournament cup, that makes a lot of sense. So before we go on, we'll pay the bills. Let's tell everybody we're part of the Hitting the High Notes, part of the Believe Network. We have a sponsor, BetOnline.ag. The last of the major sports leagues is off and rolling, and college basketball is ready to go as well. BetOnline remains your top spot for all your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions. All the hoops betting action, along with every sport available at your fingertips with both the desktop and the mobile access at any time, head to BetOnline today. Remember to use our promo code BELEAV, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. I don't know. I don't know if I get better or worse at that read every time I do it, but it's done. It's done, and that's our 20. That's our quarter that we get for the episode, so that's nice.
Those quarters add up.
Those quarters do add up. Quarter for Christmas, Logan. Logan, when you listen to the pod, you just skip the ads. Is that what you do?
It depends.
Yeah, just
if I can reach my phone. Or not.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's tricky because you don't want to miss something good, so you don't want to always end up hearing something.
We have some good stuff, like Prize Picks is on there. Like AutoZone was on there one time. I was like, okay, cool. I do listen to a podcast, and he always gives a plea. He says, hey, don't skip the ads. I don't know if he can track it or not. He's like, don't skip the ads. It helps. It's one of those, look, I make my money from podcasting. Please don't skip the ads. And honestly, that plea works. I'm like, every time an ad comes on, I'm like, you know what? Let me just shut my brain off for 40 seconds and come back to it. Like, I don't skip it. But then every once in a while, he does have an ad. I'm like, I want to get one of those. So hopefully we have ads, and people are like, yeah, I want to get in on that. I told my buddy, because he likes to sports gamble. He also likes to do something called Prize Picks. And like I said, Prize Picks is one of the ads that we have before the show, and it's basically like stock market for athletes. Say you want to buy Keontae George shares of Keontae George for $1.50, and then he has a good game, then all of a sudden his stock goes up, so you make money off it. It's very weird to have a stock market on players. And then I thought about it, the stock market is kind of not real anyway. So, the real stock market. So, who knows? I don't do a lot of stock trading. I don't know if you're a Wolf of Wall Street guy or not, Logan.
No, I don't know. I don't know gambling or Wall Street. So very confused, but I'm sure someone who that made sense to. It just wasn't me.
So we have a little outline here. Put in the group chat. First topic we were going to talk about Lauri Markkanen, because that was one of the big topics that was on Jazz Twitter until, you know, like, you know, 8 p.m. yesterday. It's funny because, like, we talk about Lauri. We talked about this topic before in various incarnations. And I know that, and Logan, you know, puts in the group chat, like, okay, so basically we're going to talk about it. You know, Jared's going to recommend some trade offers, you know, who will say why they won't work. And, you know, I was like, well, that is our formula. That's how we do things here. So,
yeah. Jared, what would you do? This is what I do. Well, that's really hard to do.
But
you never say it's impossible. It's just that those are really hard to do.
Because, I mean, like, and that's not where I'm quite going to go with this today. I think, I mean, there's a lot of, see, I told him to see, hold on a second. How do I do this? Hold and accept. Now I got to merge calls. All right, now I got to put down where he called so I can edit this in.
Sorry.
Okay.
These motherfuckers always look like Scott Van Pelt. It's amazing.
Who?
The bald guys, apparently.
Yeah.
All the bald guys look the fucking same. Hashtag Bryant. Everyone is Bryant.
Okay. We're just about to start our Lauri talk here, so. Okay. So 3, 2. Yeah, so Logan, so instead of being, I'm trying to break the formula, you know, like, and the formula is not great, especially for a little small podcast like this. People don't want to hear a formulaic thing. But there has been a lot of talk, a lot of discourse on the Twitter there about Lauri Markkanen, trade value, and you already said, and you said in the group chat and you've said on this podcast, you will not entertain the idea of trading Lauri Markkanen. And I would like to hear from you, like, why is that your position?
Because I like the way his name is pronounced. what there has been a lot of, I guess I haven't been on the Twitter enough. I've been playing too much Two Dots. And so I haven't seen, there's been recent chatter on Lauri, is that because the Jazz had a god awful road trip. And so you've got to trade him because he's going to walk if we don't win situation.
There's a lot of that talk and a lot of just like, hey, you know, that is a, you know, it's sort of the same thing we always see, like timeline stuff or, you know, get the best package. The Thunder fans also pitched a lot of ideas, and then a lot of Jazz fans picked that up and said, ooh, actually, that's a really good package. I wouldn't mind that for Lauri. So,
I guess I'd have to hear what the package is. I mean, I don't really want to entertain the idea unless you're going to offer up like a legitimate superstar that I don't really understand what the point would be. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I don't get it, but.
Yeah, I mean,
I haven't seen any Lauri packages out there. I guess so. Yeah. I don't know.
I think like one of the Thunder packages I saw was Josh Giddey, who he doesn't fall in that superstar criteria. He's sort of like he's young. He's a young player. I'll look up his age real quick for you. A young player, and then like a bunch of like more picks, more young assets, picks and stuff like that. I think those are mostly the packages you're going to get. Is that you're not going to get another superstar in return, but you're almost going to do what you do with Donovan trade. You're going to trade him and get back some young players that you hope become an all-star like Lauri did. So,
I mean, my philosophy hasn't changed a whole lot from that since we were in high school. I mean, you tried to acquire these guys. That's right. The reason you make trades and make drafts is to acquire guys of that caliber. So I don't understand. Well, I mean, he's the only real known entity they currently have, right? Mm-hmm. So,
yep.
His contract's fine. His contract good. He's under control for a while, so I don't know.
I don't know if he's under control. A lot of things
can change in time. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
I think his extension's coming up in a year or so. So, that's not quite the point that we were trying to make here. Those are very valid reasons. Like, I mean, like hey, look, you have nobody else. I mean, it's Lauri is the Utah Jazz. Let's bring in him. He's made it to the podcast. Let's go the distance 49. He had to go a long distance to get here, but he is here. What's up, Jared?
Hey, man. Hey.
And so, you know, we're talking about this Lauri Markkanen thing, and We already made the joke. You know, we already made the joke that we made from the text message chain. But Jared, so what are your thoughts? Like, I mean, you heard Logan. Like, you know, like, what's the point of trading Lowry? What side do you fall on? Are you open minded to trading Lowry? Open minded is the wrong word. Like, are you more for trading Lowry Markkanen or keeping him and seeing what you can build around Lowry?
I'm kind of open ended on this because I feel like until you find a workable three, because I don't feel like Lowry. I feel like his best position is power forward. I don't even feel like he plays small ball center all that well. So he's kind of like a true modern four, I guess. I feel like it's kind of tough to be married to a player who you don't feel like can be your number one option on a championship team. I love Keontae. I love what he's doing. And I want another young guy to grow alongside him. Which have we already seen the best version of Lowry? I don't know. It's going to bug me now. But I can't remember which one is correct.
Say that again. You're kind of coming in and out, so.
Oh, in and out, huh? All right. Guess just like that.
But, yeah. I mean, like, I heard everything you said for like the last thing you said before. So what was that? What was that again?
About the not being married to the idea of keeping him?
Yeah, a little bit after that, yeah.
Well, it's just he feels like a true NBA 4 at this point, true modern NBA 4, and until you have a true modern 3 or modern 2, you know, that are established on the roster, I feel like you got to go young and try to get those other guys that can. I just don't want to have the two timelines problem again. I don't want to have a problem where we have one guy who's good. He became good like in year 6 or 7, and then another guy who's in year 1, and then, oh no, this guy is too old. No, oh, we got to build around this guy now. Fumbling around in the dark.
So Jared's number one, you're against.
So we're saying that was the issue with Rudy and Donovan, not the supporting cast.
Part of it. But they're both also trash.
That was
Donovan just walked out of the game tonight.
So that was a concern, right? Like, we felt like maybe the Rudy timeline, and like this is maybe a narrative that is just from our podcast. I don't know if I heard that narrative a lot.
Lowry timeline is a super common. Timeline is a super common. It's on there obviously. I'm a firm believer in it. It doesn't exist in the NBA.
I read it on the Athletic too. Like I read two timeline theory, blah blah blah.
So that was something.
It's a lesser version of the Warriors two timelines because they have the young guys, the old guys. Oh, now we got to get rid of Jordan Poole because, anyways.
Okay, let's break down to the part where, because this is sort of you're right. Like when Rudy and Donovan first, like Donovan was 21. Rudy was 27. Lowry is 26 right now, and Keontae, I'm assuming, is 20-ish something. Like maybe not quite.
He's like 20. 19.
He just turned 20. He just turned 20.
Turned 20. Yeah. Okay.
And and from earlier, Josh Giddey turned 21. So, I think there is so the people who and Logan that you don't subscribe to the, the timelines not matching up. You don't believe they exist, and that's also fair.
Well, because it didn't. I mean, that's not why Rudy and Donovan were shipped off. It was because they just. I mean, there wasn't.
Because neither of them were true number one.
Yeah, exactly. That's way more valid than their timelines didn't match up, right? Either you can blame the pieces we put around them, or I think time's going to prove out that neither one of them were good enough to be number ones. It's not as though.
Lowry's not good enough to be a number one either. So do you just keep looking for the number one guy?
I mean, I don't know. You can do whatever you want to do. I mean, he asked my opinion. I gave mine. You've got yours.
Jake asked me that last week, and my more thought out answer is that there's a lot of guys who sign with number one bad teams. Like for Lowry to go to a if he wants to, maybe he does. Maybe he wants the superstar chase. Maybe he wants the ring chase. And maybe he'll take a smaller contract to go to the Celtics, the Bucks, the Lakers. I don't know, whoever is going to be the next front runner in the NBA, he might do that. But I think a lot of the guys in the NBA want to get theirs as well as be competitive. And I think the Jazz have a good recipe for that. So, you know.
Yeah, I think Lauri Markkanen is like 15 years away from ring chasing and taking less money.
Right.
To go to
the yeah. Standard.
I mean, no one really does that except for Gary Payton in year 21.
Right.
I mean, I don't think that.
Karl Malone and like the very
Harden did it a little bit, I guess, but they got really pissed off about it a year later. So
yeah, and James Harden, that's James Harden's like MO sort of like that, you know. Yeah. And here's the thing, James Harden has earned enough money and has earned, you know, the respect, and he can do that. Lowry is, again, you know, going to be 27 soon.
He's still looking for his first big contract.
Right, still looking for a big contract. So.
Have those middling dollar value contracts. So I really don't think you're going to have a problem convincing him to stay. I don't buy this that everybody needs a glamour market or everybody needs it. I mean, there's just so many different
narratives that are flying around. Let's just say on this podcast, the three of us are going to agree that Lowry staying is not going to be a problem, at least for the next contract, at least for his extension coming up. It's not going to be a problem to re-sign him because the Jazz are in the driver's seat.
I think if you look around the league and you see the trades he's offered up, and I think people view him as like a, it's interesting. We obviously value him extremely high because we're Jazz fans, but I don't think the overall value of Lauri is what I think it is, right? I'm not saying it's not high.
Oh, yeah, especially fans don't. Like, the opposing team's fans think he's worth nothing. They're like, oh, let's get him for free. He's a throw-in of the trade. You know?
I'm not quite sure. Because, like, the stuff I've seen, you know,
I don't see guys offering multiple first-round picks. I see them offering their...
We're losing Jared again. But like I was telling Logan earlier, and I don't know if Jared was here for that part of the conversation, was, you know, like OKC offered a young guy, Josh Giddey, who's 21, you know, and multiple first-round picks, two to three first-round picks, and pick swaps and all that jazz, right? No pun intended. But, you know, so that's a trade that could, you know, you're not going to get, you know, SGA back in that trade, but Josh Giddey could be something. And I really don't want to spend a lot of time on that.
I guess my only pushback to all this is we don't really have any idea. Because someone on Twitter says it doesn't mean we really know what that
is. No, exactly. I don't want to get caught up on, like, the details of, like, all right, well, this, and this, because, like, it's a fake trade offer that may not even be close to what's in reality. Well, what you want to focus on is, like Jared said, like, he would do it because he's not quite sure the timelines mesh really well. You know, I think that's valid. You don't want to do it because, you know, Logan, you don't want to do it because, you know, like, you know, we can't just, the Jazz or NBA teams just can't constantly keep selling off pieces, getting draft picks.
I don't want to be the new Thunder. I feel like Lowry's our version of SGA, even if I don't think he's necessarily as good as SGA. So I don't think there's value in trading him away, really, because the Jazz are not going to get a great haul, in my opinion, for a one-time All-Star.
Okay, let me...
Lowry's a four, and John Collins is our new five anyways.
That is true.
Walker Kessler has a sit. So.
All right, Jerry,
want to throw that out there, that I do understand positions in basketball. I don't understand a lot, but I understand John Collins is going to be challenging Rudy for Defensive Player of the Year is all I know.
Logan knows what a center is now.
Jerry, what do you consider a great haul? Like three first-round picks and a young player?
I would want three first round picks and some guy that's like 19 and you can just kind of hope he's good.
So
he's something.
But what if you get that?
The weird part about Lowry too is his salary's so low is you don't really get like multiple shots at it. Like with Donovan, you got like Donovan Rudy got multiple shots at the guy.
That's why they would have to trade him this year. That's why they because next year they can't aggregate salary. So
again, forget all that. Jared, somebody offers you again a Josh Giddey 21-year-old player. Doesn't have to be Josh Giddey. It doesn't have to be Josh Giddey. Just somebody in that same age.
Okay, a box, three. A boat, got it.
Who?
Okay, and a then, box, boat player.
And then three first-round picks.
Okay.
That was your definition of a great offer. Do you feel good about making that trade? So not great.
Unless they're all dog shit first. If they're like all guaranteed to be the back end of the first round, then I don't think I love that. If they're five protected, I mean...
Unprotected.
Unprotected picks. Unprotected, I would take it.
Yeah. Unprecedented picks, but they can come from anybody. The Sixers, the whoever. Because that's the thing, that Lowry is not being traded to a team that's, you know, looking for their main piece. The teams that Lowry is going to be, or teams that are interested in Lowry, are going to
be the one that wants him. Yeah.
Are going to be the teams that are like, okay, we have our number one. We have our
Luka. We're a piece away.
We have Luka Doncic. We need a third. We need our third piece. You know, we have our top two pieces. So,
Max and Embiid adding Lowry Markkanen.
So there's a chance of those draft picks today in 2023 look pretty bad. But in 2029, who knows? I can't tell you what the thing, how's
things
going to
change fast in the NBA.
Yep, and they do. When you said it had to be a guaranteed top, I'm like, you can't know that now. But
no, I just want it like unprotected.
Okay, and that's fair. Unprotected is fair. So, I'm going to argue for both here. But let's argue for the. To entertain the idea, look, I don't think the Jazz are trading Lowry. Number one, because I don't think they're going to get a great deal. So, yeah, there is not a benefit to trade for
him. I agree. I don't think they're going to trade him.
But, I mean, I do think that there is some benefit of at least having that in your back pocket. You know, if someone calls, I'm not hanging up right away. Like, okay, well, make me an offer. Like, what do you think? What is it there? You know, and if it's close, then you have negotiations. Because, I think all three of us have said it at one point on this podcast, and I wish I could ask Jake, and maybe I'll tweet him and ask him. But like, we don't think Lowry is a number one on a championship team. And to be fair,
I agree. We did come to that conclusion.
That bar is extremely high for me, at least.
Yeah,
that bar absolutely. Is
it's a top
that bar
five
is.
Player.
Paul George is not a number one on a championship team. Like,
right.
And I think Paul George is better than Lowry. So,
and not even Kawhi Leonard is that anymore. Because the injuries and
Kawhi has fallen past that line too. Like, those guys are closer; they're a lot closer than Lowry is. But again, these are the players that I like to put in the same. Demontis Sabonis, Julius Randle. You have to have a lot of help around those guys. I have a high bar for that, and so I think there is some benefit of saying, okay, look, because 27 is still young. Like, Lowry's in his prime, but he's in the prime. It's unlikely that we see Lowry take any more huge leaps. Like, the fact that he's playing at the same level that he was playing last year, I think is a really great sign. Like, really good. I feel good about it now. I feel like Lowry, he could be on your team. But I feel like you need to have a Luka and something else ahead of Lowry. So the other thing I think that, like, you also have John Collins, who I think is a good player. If you were to trade Lowry, I think John Collins could be the guy that takes the next step, and that's not really part of this story here. But I just think that I'm not closed off to, like, looking at the trade deals for Lowry. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think there's going to be anybody who gives up what the Jazz need. And Logan, you probably don't. A young player, a 20-year-old and 3 first-round draft picks for Lowry, that doesn't do it for you, right?
Well, no, I mean, there's just that's way too many unknowns. I mean, we don't know who the player is. We don't know who the situation is. So no, it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll keep it simple.
Yeah, I don't know who I could throw out there at you that you'd be like. I mean, it obviously, when I say young player, I don't mean like Scoot Henderson. It would be somebody a little lower. But I mean, that worked out for the Jazz with Donovan, right? Like, they went and got Lowry and Colin Sexton, and one of those guys hit. Like, wow, that's actually pretty impressive. The main things were, like, we also get those draft picks, and lo and behold, the cracks for Cleveland already looking like they're starting. We thought it was going to start in next year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Fishers, man.
Huh?
There's, like, Fishers so. Over there.
Let me argue the other way. Like, you're the Jazz, and if you trade Lowry, you are, the part of the reason the Jazz didn't do very well in the draft this year is because Lowry was just too good. They were not expecting that. It was a nice surprise. At the end of the year, though, I was like, oh boy, Lowry was good. He was almost an all-NBA player, was an all-star. You have something there. But ultimately, you're still like at the low end of mediocre. And, the Jazz have looked at that, kind of mediocre at the beginning of the year. Not bad enough to get a top five pick. Those are usually the ones that are game changers. The draft picks You know, one out of three. Again, not bad. I mean, look, Bryce Sensabaugh and Taylor Hendricks doing pretty well in the G League, but we've already had our G League discourse that...
Depends on which night it is. It sounds like there was like a 101-point swing between games, I heard.
So inconsistent play in the G League is not really helpful for not very confident, inspiring that the rookies are gonna, you know, be the difference makers, and that Lowry, you know, that even though Lowry is not a number one in the NBA, he's still, again, he was almost an All NBA player. He's an All Star. Looks like he can be a multi-time All Star for this Jazz team, and so, but like if you get rid of him, then you're really starting square one. And the problem is that like teams that start square, like the Kings were square one for 17 years before last year, right? You know, teams can be good. Like, you know, the Kings had multiple top 10 picks. It didn't work out. You know, the Hornets have a bunch of, you know, top five picks on their team, and it's not working out for them. So once you start square one, there's a chance that you can just be like not even mediocre. You can just be bad year after year after year. You know, and the draft picks just don't help. Now, I think the Jazz are a little ahead of the curve of those teams because they have more assets besides their own, so that helps. But, you know, having Lowry there is at least a piece that if you do something else, like if a rookie that you draft hits, if you can make a trade for somebody else, at least now you don't have to go get a second piece. Now you don't have to get a third piece. That piece is already there on your roster. So, I'm just kind of being devil's advocate there. I mean,
bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
What does that mean?
It means that it's kind of like you go with the devil you know. You know you've got Lowry. You know you've got a good player that you have on your roster. Versus, oh, it's a boat. It's a box. It can be whatever it's whatever I want it to be. You know.
I mean, and that's okay. Like, you know, I think there's. There's merit.
We don't need Schrodinger's Jazz player. We don't need some, like.
No, we already have that in Taylor Hendricks. If you missed that episode, it was a great metaphor. So,
I was on that episode. I just didn't use that. Was I?
I don't think you were.
I was you and Logan.
It was.
Oh, my bad.
But
I didn't realize that you guys called him Schrodinger's Jazz player though.
Interestingly enough, like, I mean, I don't think there's a, you know, there's obviously not a right or wrong answer. I think both camps, I mean, we on this podcast, we have both camps, and I think just interesting to talk about because it's out there. But again, like, you know, we're talking about something that's just very, very likely not to happen.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, so we got the Lowry talk out of the way. I mean, you know, nobody bit anybody's head off. Logan, did you say you were playing two dots?
Yeah.
What the hell is two dots?
It's a game.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's like, okay.
I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah. Two dots, huh? Like, I was like, okay, well, I mean, got to look that up here in a minute here.
That's a puzzle game.
I just play two dots and take breaks between lives and watch Rudy Gobert get choked out again.
Logan, very good at... Just knowing when I'm about to change subjects is we are talking about like, former Jazz player Rudy Gobert and Draymond Green, public enemy number one, and quite a scuffle in the Golden State, Minnesota. It's just funny how this rivalry has just lasted so many years. It's a very weird rivalry, but it's there. For those who are living on the rock, there was a fight in the first 2 minutes of the Timberwolves and Golden State game on Tuesday night. Draymond Green
0-0 was the score.
0-0, like no points scored. They're like, all right, cool. And you know, there was a big scuffle mid court between Klay Thompson and Jaden McDaniels. Draymond Green decides to put Rudy Gobert in. Did you decide it was a UFC or WWE chokehold?
People seem to go MMA. Well, there was a lot of WWE too, though. Yeah. They think Draymond's fake. So
yeah, Draymond,
which I mean may or may not be true. I'm not going to tell Draymond that to his face personally. But there's a lot of people on the internet who think I don't know. It is what it is.
So been a little chokehold. Like it was just excessive. Logan, you're watching.
Definitely excessive. I mean,
you're watching it. Like, what are your thoughts?
One thing I'll say, I don't know if people can talk their way through that. Like, it was definitely out of line, for sure. But
like you're watching the first time you're watching it, you're seeing it, you know, Twitter or whatever you're watching it. Like, what are your thoughts? Like, what's happening there?
What are my thoughts going back to that moment? I don't know what I'm allowed to say or not say. We know where I'm not his biggest fan. So, I mean, it's obviously shocking. It's still shocking to see it, right, at first, because you don't expect to see it. My first thought was I heard the hype around it, and I had to watch it probably 7 or 8 times to make sure I really saw what I saw, because I was shocked that it actually took place.
Right.
Because very, very few times do the guys actually execute or get close enough to execute, right? And, I mean, you really drug him for a good 10, 15 feet. So I was shocked, I mean, I know they don't like each other, but I was still shocked. It's still shocking to see a grown man do that to another grown man while the other one just throws his hands up in the air.
Yeah, I'm watching Rudy going, and Rudy's, I'm thinking, like, if I'm Rudy, I'm thinking, what the hell's going on? Like, why is this guy's arm around my neck?
As I was thinking the whole time, the first few times I saw it, and someone finally tweeted out today, is like, he missed a prime opportunity to reverse that into a Stone Cold Stunner, like... He was sitting right there for him.
Yeah, I mean, it happened so quickly.
If he had done that, that would have been like the number one, like, watch clip in all the internet. So, too bad. They really big missed it for the opportunity there.
But as we know, Rudy doesn't actually fight back. He just talks about after the fact how he could have fought back and how he just didn't do it.
And how he's just too strong and he would have broke him in half. And
My favorite was the one that came, because at first I was like, he called.
He cracked his teeth on his abs or something.
Well, there was some comments that after the game that Rudy had made about how Draymond always gets himself ejected when Steph's not playing, and how everyone knows that Draymond's a clown. And I was like, you know, that's not bad, Rudy. That's a rare Rudy W. But then I believe he went on to say that he wasn't even worried because he knew that that Draymond didn't even have it locked in well, and he doesn't know how to really lock in. I could be wrong. Maybe this is me speculating, but I'm pretty sure he said something to the extent that he wasn't even nervous because he knew that he could just tell it wasn't locked in. Right. So go look at the
Rudy Gobert MMA fighter. Seriously.
So I'm just saying that. Take a look at the look on his face when he's got his hands in the air. That's not a guy who feels confident about how he's not going to get choked out.
Look at Draymond's eyes. He's out for blood. He looks Draymond's, like he's going to choke him out.
The two faces, like, was priceless.
Jesus.
In true Rudy fashion, he could have just stopped and got the W by calling him a clown and saying he gets kicked out when his buddy steps on around. But he always has to take an extra step where he makes himself look dumb. It's like when you're wrestling, you're getting in a fight, and someone whoops your ass. You're like, well, yeah, I can just let you do that because I forgot my belt today. And so if I had my belt up, I would have whooped your ass. Shut the fuck up. Like, just shut
Rudy,
the fuck
Rudy
up.
Just always says too much, man. He just always.
Flashbacks to high school.
If he speaks his truth, he removes all doubt about being a clown.
Okay,
sure.
So Jared wants.
This is a first for us. I actually got a bunch of replies, and also got a direct message from the Jazz High Notes Facebook about posting these three photos. But the DM somebody sent me was kind of interesting. It wasn't like they said Green is a dirty player. With all the other players on different teams, Green has always gotten away with dirty play for too long. When is the NBA going to stop Green's behavior? And then I'm like, well, Rudy's no saint. He's been egging this kind of stuff on for years behind the scenes. He's kind of a passive-aggressive a-hole. And they're like, crazy what happens behind the scenes of the NBA. Bad behavior should never be rewarded. I'm like, oh, so I did I just have a reasonable conversation where this person is now convinced that Rudy Gobert is not freaking innocent? Because everybody seems to be acting like Rudy did everything right, and he's never been a problem anywhere. He's an innocent victim for Draymond Green. Oh my God. I just thought that was a funny exchange, personally.
Well, Draymond's definitely unlikable. I don't want to in this.
Right. I can't tell if Jared was on Team Draymond there for a minute. So
yeah, well, that's the hard part. I don't think any of us are Team Draymond. I think that it's just frustrating because, again, I put that tweet out too about it would have been interesting to see how Jazz fans would have responded if Twitter existed in the Stockton Malone days, because those guys were historically dirty. And, yep. And like clockwork, almost every single reply was some version of how Stockton Malone would never run up and choke someone from behind.
Right.
So that was somehow better. Like when he actually knocked.
Oh, but they could elbow the shit out of somebody so that they bleed all over the floor and they need multiple stitches to be put back together again. Because Humpty Dumpty was broken by freaking Karl Malone. Freaking A, dude.
Yeah, well, there was someone who replied to it with a reasonable response. I can't remember. It's Calvin something, I think, and he said something to the
Calvin Brodus.
I don't know, but no, it wasn't Calvin Brodus. But it's something to the effect that when a guy's on your team, you cheer for it, just like Warriors fans will for Draymond. We would have done the same for John and Carl. Like that's part of what makes it fun. And I was like, yeah, that's a reasonable point. I was like, but wait a second. That's part of what pisses me off is Rudy isn't our guy anymore. He's not. I know that some people aren't recognizing that, but he doesn't play for the Jazz anymore.
He's a Timberwolf.
He's not a Jazz man. I've never quite experienced it from like, I understand there's different ways to watch and consume the sport. Like I in lots of sports, I enjoy different teams and situations better than I ever, you know, especially at college football, for example. I'll watch lots of different teams and just enjoy it. And I'd say I'm a college football enjoyer, not a team enjoyer, but it's very hard. It's very strange phenomenon for me to watch. Well, I genuinely believe to be diehard Jazz fans be so, and I know I make tongue in cheek jokes about it all the time about being such big Timberwolves fans, but it is very strange to me. It almost felt like with some last season, they almost wanted to see Timberwolves success and Jazz failure.
Yeah.
Which is very, very peculiar to me, like and not just in a like tongue in cheek smart ass way. And so to see the continued love for the Timberwolves is very strange to me. And I get why, because those guys are there, but it's still very bizarre to me, because again, maybe that's just the evolution of fandom, or that's just the way different people cheer for their team. But it's just very
strange,
hard for me to understand, I guess, is the nicest way.
And I believe the Calvin you're talking about is Calvin Chapel.
Yeah, I think that's the name.
Yeah. I was like, there's only one Calvin Jasmin I know, so unless it's Calvin Johnson, who was at a Jazz game last year. But yeah, I think there's a big nostalgia factor to it, right? Like, I mean, look, that I don't know how you guys feel about that last Jazz, the iteration of the Mitchell Gobert Jazz. Like, I've said it before. Like, I think we're gonna look back at that team in a few years, you know, maybe a decade, and just think about how fondly, like you know, it was a good time. You know, it wasn't always great. But, you know, we had experienced highs that we had never experienced as Jazz fans, or, you know, we had a really good regular season with them.
Well, I would say it's the best, right? But it's the best we had in like a decade.
Yeah. Number one team, just they're fun. You had a young superstar, like, you know, you and me, you know, and I guess, Jerry, you know, we're all the same age. Like, I assume we all kind of came into the Karl Malone, John Stockton era. Like with Donovan Mitchell, it was like, oh, we drafted Donovan, we drafted Rudy. Like we were there for the draft. Like we remember the draft moments. Like, you know, obviously Carl, John, all those guys were drafted when we were either one or not even born yet, being conceived.
Right.
And so like, you know, that might've been the first, like Darren Williams, like, right. Darren Williams for me, like, I'm like, oh, Darren Williams is one of my favorite Jazz players because I was there for the draft. And you know, that team was so frustrating in so many ways. But Boozer, Okur, you know, even AK, like I'm a, you know, I just have a fond memory. And then a decade later, I appreciate that team a lot more. And so, and I think there's a part of it there, right? Like a lot of people like Mike Conley, a lot of people like Rudy Gobert, a lot of people like Donovan, and you know, it was a mutual breakup, and it's, you know, there's it's hard, like. Gordon Hayward doesn't get that because it wasn't mutual. It was definitely some hard feelings there. But with Rudy, Donovan, all those guys, like it was time. We all felt it. We all felt it was time to move on. And I think that's part of it. I don't know if the Jazz, as Jazz fans, if we ever have had that same situation.
I mean, but you said that's like years down the road. But I think the problem that I'm not problem. It's not a problem. It's just an observation. But you know, this happened last year, and this was a year after. Like you're right. We'll look back fondly years from now. But the last year of Rudy and Donovan was fucking hell. That wasn't enjoyable basketball.
For nobody liked that team.
No one can say that. Like that was a terrible, rough team to watch. And so I don't know. It's just.
Yeah, I think that last year is what kind of helped Jazz fans kind of like disassociate from it. Like okay, it was over. Like we had to lose, and they didn't want. I mean, some people really wanted to keep that team around. You know, the three of us have made our peace. And we're like, yeah, this team's done, and you have to go get. And you know, happy for the trades, and I just think there's no ill feelings towards. I mean, for some people there are, but I think there's a lot of fan bases who don't have the ill feelings towards Donovan and Rudy going to new places. So, and you know, the there's that stupid saying, you know, once a Jazz man, always a Jazz man type thing. So, I get it. I mean, I get it. Like, I mean, I was there watching that fight and going, you know, I want Rudy to kick his ass. And part of that is because I think Draymond's kind of an asshole. You know, always have. Hasn't changed.
Rudy's not kicking anyone's ass.
You know, and like, you know, this year, you know, Jared and I, we did that pod of, you know, where we think and you know, both are kind of maybe not long shot calls, but, you know, he was saying Dallas to be a top two team. I said the Wolves to be a top three team, and it's looking actually pretty good right now. But, you know, my vote for top three team wasn't really based off, like, I really hope they're a top three team. Like, that'd be dumb. But I just thought that everything would mesh better. And because I do think these players are, like, I didn't think Cleveland would be below 500 and kind of showing cracks already. But I still want to see Donovan do well. I mean, if he goes to New York, we'll see. I don't know. It's just, I don't even know where I'm going with this at. But I think that there's there's some good feelings when you have a mutual breakup like that, amicable breakup, I should say, that, you know, some players, some fans want the Jazz to do well, plus, you know, it's a weird concept to say, hey, I want the Wolves to do well, plus the Jazz to do well. But, you know, it is what it is.
I'm just not putting in words well, because I mean, what you said makes sense, but that's not really what I'm getting at, but, I, you know, it's fine. I'm not saying you got to hate anyone or be upset or be angry or like. I mean, I don't like Rudy. I've never liked Rudy. So that's, I understand it's part of what drives my irritation with it. So I will admit my hypocrisy from the beginning. But what it's interesting is the Donovan Mitchell part. I would say last year I was really excited to watch Donovan be successful, you know, and do good things. But this year I just really couldn't care less. He's just another dude now. Yeah. Like, I don't have any Donovan feelings whatsoever. Like, I just don't. I don't have anything. Like, hey. Not that bad, not good. Like, I was thinking about that. I was just like, I don't have anything. And honestly, the Timberwolves, I wasn't even really paying attention to what they were doing till the first week of the season. And then all of a sudden, I guess they started winning games. And my timeline of quote-unquote Jazz fans was flooded with Timberwolves shit. And that's where I was like, oh, my God. Because, again, last year, it annoyed me. But this year, I thought we were all over it. Because I was. You know, that's ego for you, right? Because you think your world is everyone else's perception, which isn't true. But it was just very strange to still see. It's just been very strange to see, I guess. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I'm not criticizing anyone for it. It's just very, I've just never quite seen anything like it. But then again, I've never really experienced fandom for many quirky, weird ways as Jazz fans are. Like, I think it's genuinely one of the more quirky fan bases that exists in sports. So
we are all in our own thought bubbles and our own echo chambers, and yeah, that's what's going on with that. And, you know, hopefully, I mean, look, I think if the Jazz were to do what they did last year multiple times, you know, just be good, be surprisingly good, you know, it will just change. Like, last year, you know, we saw last year, like, the Wolves started not doing very well. You know, Donovan was in the East. People weren't talking about those guys as much because last year the Jazz were really fun. And the, you know, Jazz fans who were not, you know, quote-unquote Jazz fans at the time started to come back. They're like, oh, wait, this seems fun. And now the Jazz are not that fun anymore. You know, they might be going back to like, all right, well, let's go see what our other guys are doing.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's pretty consistent. I was the exact opposite. I thought it tamed down this year, and it's just as bad. That's my whole point, is I'm surprised that a year removed, we're still that. You know what I mean? Like, that's exactly the – the point I'm making. It's very strange to me that a full year later, we're still that invested in another team. But you know, that's what's most confusing right. to me.
Well, where the Jazz are actually really good, where the Jazz might win a championship in the play in season tournament cup that started the Jazz 2-0, looking to go for 3 wins this week. Logan, you said to me I saw your thoughts on Twitter and you're like, okay, these in season tournament games are actually kind of interesting. A little bit. Jared, how are you feeling about in season tournament games?
I had a lot of fun, man. It was a great watch and just a fun experience. I loved seeing a lot of Keontae George. Like, that's what I was looking to see. You know, he was the number one reason I wanted to go to that game and watch that game. I was glad that he was starting. It was just just overall fun experience. I mean, we've beaten 2 really crappy teams that are in our bracket, so maybe we could beat one of the better ones, the Suns, hopefully.
Friday's
an in-season game again, too, or what?
I think so.
I guess one of my biggest qualms with it is that I don't understand when it is and why some – I know it's Tuesday. What is it, Tuesdays and Fridays, but sometimes it's not a game for you. I don't know. That part is a little fucking weird. But
yeah, I mean, they had some problems with that. But what about, the overall tournament, Jared? Not just, being there in person, the actual tournament overall.
Well, I mean, they have a little Richard Jefferson video that kind of explains it, which I think is nice. I feel like I need to watch that video over and over again to really remember what the whole point of the whole rule system is.
Which tells me how well that video is done then. let me watch that 20 times so I can really get it.
I guess my thoughts on it is I don't know if it has any substance yet. I really don't. I don't know if it's interesting to me because
I think the problem is they just
randomly shiny court or like. I mean, I guess that's my.
They just randomly sprinkled them into the season, and I think that's the problem.
That was the point though, was to make it so we actually they would keep your attention, right? So I just don't know. I just don't know what this. I mean, it's been interesting because it's new and it's different, you know. It could be as simple as the uniforms and the courts and. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. And they've hyped the shit out of it. So it's just, that's what hype is, right? Like you get really excited for something stupid, like a goddamn Batman movie forever. And then the hype train drives these things sometimes. Right. So I don't know if there's substance to it, but
yeah,
I
mean, that was all
paying attention.
That was Logan's tweet was like, I think that sincere tweet was that you're more interested in the in season tournament than you thought you'd be, I guess. But the problems are there. You're like, right. Like, the in-season tournament games are Tuesday and Friday, and then you have other games. Like, the Jazz are playing the Suns twice. One's the in-season tournament game, one's not. They're happening back-to-back, you know? And so it's like, okay, then there's, the aggregate. Then there's the point differential. Then it's all, a whole bunch of different rules. And part of it is,
We're playing a Sunday home game. It's not a playoff game. Holy crap.
Circumstance drives a lot of it. I mean, the thing is, the Jazz were really dog shit up until that point, and then just by coincidence, they won 2 games, right? So, I mean, if they would have just drugged their losing streak into there, I don't know. It's been the perfect storm so far, but my gut inside of me still kind of is very skeptical overall, I guess. It's just, I don't know, the circumstance. Again, that road trip was just awful.
Just really bad, yeah. And personally, I this is a tournament game for me. Like, they're all just whatever. Like, I'm just so out on this season tournament. But I get the initial excitement for it because I saw your tweet and I was like, oh, that's interesting. And it makes me think of when the All-Star game switched from being East West to captains and doing stuff. Like, it was like, oh, this is here's a brand new shiny thing, and here's the different the Elam and all this stuff. But now here we are 5 years later, and the NBA is going, oh, you know what? That All-Star game stuff didn't really work. We're going to go back to the quote-unquote original format. And, you know, part of me thinks that's could happen to the in-season tournament because there are a lot of problems. Like, you guys have mentioned it. Like, when are the games? What's going to count as a game? They count as regular season games, too. So, you're doubling up on, you're like, all right, cool. You know, it's not like tournaments that happens in soccer where you're bringing in other teams. The games don't count for your regular season. Doing it and I think there's an obvious reason why they're doing it in October and November and not like 2 weeks before the All-Star break, which would make the most sense. The NBA is just doing their best part. They're trying their hardest to try to
drive fan interest in November.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, because them and the players unfortunately have made it feel like the regular season and especially the early regular season doesn't mean anything. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's no speculating. They basically said this is why we're doing this, because they have a whole quarter of a season or half of a season that no one gives a shit about. Most people don't believe the NBA starts until Christmas. My God, that's nearly 2.5 months into their season.
Yep.
And the NFL is trying to take Christmas from them. So they're
The NFL is going to take everything away from them. So the NFL is going to take it all away. Hearing the words that you're coming out of your mouth that the beginning of the season doesn't matter. It feels like that's something that's been said on this podcast for a long time.
Yeah, well, I mean, historically, it had proved to be false, though, because there was, but last year's postseason set a very disturbing trend.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that the Nuggets ended up winning it all, the one seed, but to watch the Warriors and Lakers just kind of coast and get their way in there and do that kind of damage,
mm-hmm.
and the Heat to do the same thing just kind of finally was the nail. Because it was always a theory, right? Mm-hmm. And we felt like that, but like the proof had always been that the best team still made it to the finals, but yeah, last year was not good for that.
Yeah. So
mindset. So
right, and I don't know. They're trying to drive interest, and I get why they're trying to do all this stuff. I mean, number one, like it did the first in-season tournament game happened like a week after the season started. People were like, "Oh my God, it's already starting."
That's a smart on their part. Like, holy shit, we're here.
Maybe it's working, but so I think we'll put a pin in this. Like maybe our litmus test will be in 2025 or 2024. When they do the second time, like we'll see if we have the same energy for it next year when they do it again. So,
I think they definitely have to start shifting the incentives for it. Like this year, the winner is just the winner, right? But
yeah, $500,000, which again to you and me,
I don't think it's money. I don't think you can do the money thing.
These guys
make so much money that because they talk about it in the All-Star games too. Like I don't think the money changes anything. I think it's got to be like you said, a draft pick or a first round or automatic playoff berth or I don't know, something.
Funny. Yeah, your pre-season requirement. I was about to say the players have joked about it. Like Jordan Clarkson did an interview, and they asked him about it right before the season started, and he's like, "Oh yeah, like I'm a and I think there's been a directive from the NBA from the way that Craig Bowlerjack is fellatiating, is that the right word for this?
Always the right word.
This tournament, the in-season tournament game feels like a playoff game in here. I was like, no.
Oh my gosh,
it does
man.
Not. It does not, Craig. Stop it.
Like you said, the message. The message was received from the top down. I mean, you're right though, because it has been even the players have been like talking about great. And every analyst, like no one's saying anything negative about it. Who has any sort of platform, which kind of that's not by accident, right?
Yeah. So. And so Jordan Clarkson, they asked Jordan Clarkson about it, and he's you can tell if you listen to his tone, he's like, oh yeah, the money would be nice. I mean, I can buy an extra car or something, right? Like But the other thing is that you have players like Tyrese Haliburton going, oh yeah, we should do this, like an automatic playoff berth. For the winners, like the players are trying to come up with better incentive, and because the money is like $500,000, like everyone's like, they've had analysts go, no one's going to turn on $500,000. Of course, no one's going to turn on $500,000, but the problem is to get that $500,000 is going to be extra work for these players.
Yeah, it's not motivating Kawhi Leonard to sue up.
Right, exactly. Like if somebody at your job offered you an extra $100 for free, you take it. But if they offer you an extra $100 to work, on your 2 days off, you probably say no, right? Because I'm trying to come up with a metaphor.
It depends. If you only work like 2 days a month, and then they say come in on one of your off days.
No, I said on your 2 days off.
I'm just making fun of Kawhi because he never plays.
So
the number have to be so big for these guys to get their attention.
Right.
I think.
Yeah, like for Taylor,
I think $100 comp does
for Bryce Sensabaugh and Taylor Hendrick, guys on rookie contracts. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, the only guy you're going to interest is James Harden because he's like, oh shit, I'm not going to get another big contract. I better get some more stripper money. So,
And so, like, for like the young players and stuff, I think yeah. But again, for veterans, Lauri Markkanen making $15 million a year, yeah, the money's. And I have somebody who I work with, and he's like, but yeah, but it's $500,000, and I'm like, it doesn't matter, and for Logan, for you, Jared, for you, does the $500,000 make a difference to you as a fan?
I mean, no, because I'm not getting that money.
Right. So. Like, why is my interest? I mean, have you guys noticed? Do you think the in-season tournament games are more competitive?
Not really.
Well, I mean, again, timing is crucial because you did watch like three fights last night on like one of the tournament nights, which could lead one to believe that they're more into the game.
I mean, so I think
I don't know. The psyche of NBA players that motivates them is so confusing to me because I was always of the belief that these guys try hard no matter what. But then I saw that clip that came out of, was it fucking Lou Williams, who basically said that the Clippers cashed it in the bubble because they felt like no one would respect that title. And it's like, wait a fucking second. This makes me question everything I believed about these top-notch, ultra-competitive dudes. So I don't fucking know.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
I don't watch as much basketball in my off time as you guys do, and so I'm like, I haven't really watched a lot of the other in-season tournament games. So I don't. I mean, I'm just taking the assumption that it's not more competitive, but who knows? I mean, we'll have to ask the public, I guess. So. Well, it's been a week since I've talked to a couple of you guys. Logan, you weren't able to, you were on the shitter last week. So anything that we've missed from you in the last couple of weeks that you need to bring up?
I don't think so. You're talking about shouting people out, or you're talking about just
shouting people out? You have anybody in a notebook? We're just getting near the end, so it's not.
I do have a note that I just want who to remind you we graduated in 2003, not 2004. I wrote that down for.
I knew it. And you said the year before, so I was like, come on, who?
Which one? When I heard that Jake graduated in 2005, that made more sense to me. I was like, God, how did I never even hear? How come I never came across the guy? But. Yeah. I mean, we were together for a year, so yeah. I don't feel quite as bad about it then. We do need to shout out James Hardman, who's a High Notes fan,
yep.
And Dustin Hansen, both Jazz High Notes fans.
I thought that was doing nice. We
totally give him a shout out. I have the word Draymond Taz Mission written here for the WWE fans.
What?
Oh,
what
the hell? Taz had a badass theme, by the way. He had a short career, but. He had a badass theme.
He made the most out of it, though.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh yeah. Like his out of ring career is his out of ring career is like way more successful than his in ring career. So
somewhere along the way, he squirted out hooks, so things are good for him.
Yeah, the human suplex machine. So
yeah. So I've got one here. It doesn't make any sense, but I'm gonna throw it out anyways. That using the Heisman Trophy as an insult is weird. This is to the Ute fans who like to make fun of Caleb Williams for having a Heisman Trophy. I get why you don't like him, but telling him he's a Heisman Trophy winner is a weird. I don't know. You're just the dumbest, most successful, sexy, beautiful man, and your wife is hot.
Yeah, that makes zero sense to make fun of somebody for having a Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Utah fans are going through it this year, so.
But why? How did they not expect this to turn out this way? I'm a Utah fan. I don't understand how you had any kind of expectation that this team was going to be better than, like, maybe 8-3. Like, it's just weird to me.
Yeah, no, they've definitely been bitten by the injury bug, but also like the quarterback thing. Anyways, it's so strange because I will just avidly admit that I watch college football from a casual standpoint. I don't have any interest in really digging in the weeds, but some formulas are just always true and they've been that way. And Kyle Whittingham might go down as the greatest coach in the history of the state in any sport, but like his inability to, I don't know. You can call Bryson Barnes your third string quarterback, but when he's your first string quarterback all year, at some point you have to call him your first string quarterback.
Yeah, I agree.
which I know is the BYU argument, but anyways.
My biggest problem is like they needed to have a better second string guy. I think Nate would have been fine if you'd given him all the work in camp.
Their second string guy got hurt, so.
Yeah, that's true too. I get all those things. I get it. And the injuries have been just on an atrocious level. I get that for sure. But it's just, I guess what I'm getting at is just, it's just wild that some of the same issues that have plagued Kyle Whittingham teams for years happen to show up. And this year he gets a pass because his first two quarterbacks did get hurt, but it always feel like they were a competent offense away, right? And that's why when they have a decent quarterback, suddenly those quarterbacks go down and in right. more when really, you know, Cam is nice, but he's not like that nice. He's yes. not, you know, so.
Yeah,
I agree.
No, he's
so anyways.
My last one,
and maybe this is for another podcast another day, but the current Jazz team is putting off strong core four vibes lately.
That's kind of true.
I mean,
who did you call the core four? I saw you tweet about it. Yeah.
I mean, Laurie and Hendricks could be Cantor and Favors, right?
Okay.
And then who else was it? Hayward is. Who can be Hayward?
Hayward is Laurie because he's the best player.
We don't have a small forward on the team. Keontae's Alec Brooks, I guess.
Yeah. Somewhere okay. in that.
Who's the fourth then? Collins.
I don't know. I'm just saying that the group is also, and I guess to your original point on what is this team and are they worth keeping together? I guess if you were to ask me that when I typed this Twitter, I might have been say trade Laurie because obviously that was a dark time for me because that was not a good group. I guess what I was getting at is that was a group that we thought we had such high hopes for, and really like none of them turned out to be anything more than role players and future senators of the state of Utah.
And I wonder if Jazz fans
and his freedom.
Yeah, Jazz freedom. The Jazz fans didn't learn, but like I wonder if the front office look. I mean, it's a different front office, obviously, but you know, there is that fear that like if you hold on to your guys too long, all of a sudden it just crashed. Like again, the window closes really quickly, and I think our hope for Danny Ainge, and I don't know if I have any proof if he's any good at this, is knowing when to get rid of his assets before the value just bottoms out. So,
and the other side of that coin would be you can have all these assets, which those four guys were, they could all turn out to be nothing. So it's a gamble, baby.
So
you could because you're right. In the end, we knew they held on too long for him, especially Hayward specifically. But I guess the other side of the non pro tank pro asset collectors would be, well, there's four assets staring you in the face.
Yep, and they
none of them turned out to be anything.
So
I should say anything.
What a well, what a depressing note to end on, folks. But
well, something high to end on is just hearing about Jared having people shit on his bus.
Oh my god!
That's something.
Oh my god! I think we're gonna save the bus. So for those who want to sit through the credits, you know, we'll turn the music on. If you want to hear about Jared's story about someone shitting on his bus, not metaphorically, feel free to listen to that. And then we have ads after that. So feel free to stay tuned for that story coming in the credits of the episode. For Dragon Squash Logan and Go This Is 49, he barkers, Jared Barker, and you can follow me at Jazz High Notes #2. Thank you to the Believe Network and Bet Online. We'll see you guys next time.
Sit on the bus.
Timberwolves.
Sit on the bus.
I love the Timberwolves.
Yes, Jared.
you didn't know about that?
I know about it.
I just want to
know. No. I mean, who doesn't know about it? Because he's like, "Oh my god!"
Well, I want to hear it from. I want to hear it from your mouth.
From their ass.
Okay, the guy got on the bus with a dog, and I know it didn't come from the dog because he like grabbed some little wipes to wipe his own butt on the way out. It was freaking gross, man. All the way to back of the bus, he was hiding back there. Some other guy told me, "Oh, I made some shit back there." I'm like, "What the fuck?" So I had to clear the bus. And I had to take it back to the yard and swap it out because it was a biohazard, man.
Okay, like, so
we don't fuck around with that shit. We don't fuck around with that shit.
As I feel like we jumped around. So you drive a bus. This gentleman and his dog comes on and sits in the back of the bus.
Yep, hiding back there by himself.
Okay, and
No, I did not witness him take the shit, but I. Didn't look like a dog shit to me. And yeah.
And so the other passengers tell you he was taking a shit.
Yeah, one of the other guys was like, oh, this guy, that's why he ran off real quick. And I'm like, oh, my God. That makes so much sense.
How big was the dog?
The dog was maybe a medium-sized breed. Like, I want to say, he wasn't like a Rottie. He was more of a, yeah, I'm trying to think.
What breed? But big enough to produce a human-sized shit, though?
I mean, it was like a 50-60 pound dog, maybe. So we probably potentially.
I think so. Okay,
if you fed the dog a shit ton of food, maybe. Yeah. But I don't. But the dog looked like he hadn't eaten in days. So I don't think it was the dog, bro. I think it was the man.
How big was the shit?
It was pretty sizable, man. About the size of my fist, I want to say.
So are we talking like logs? Or
it was like a pile. No. It was like a pile. Yeah, it was like gooey, and like, I didn't touch it, but I could see the fact that the consistency was not like solid logs, bro.
Oh, my God.
Because I ain't touching that shit. That's not my job. In my job description, fuck that shit. Get the shit.
So how does that work? Like, are you guys take it back to the biohazard? Like, you were running around. So what happened to all the people who were waiting on your bus?
I gotta tell them to take the next one, man. Like, that's what it is. It is what it is. Thank God I was on a route that's every 15 minutes, man. Because if it was one of those every hour, those two would have been pissed.
I think,
operational questions was what happens to all the people who are waiting on the bus? Because it's like clockwork, you know? Is there like just like a stable of dudes who are waiting to like clock in for bus mishaps?
Well, we have a whole system designed around that. I work on what's called the extra board, and that's just boring minutia. People are going to check out if I start talking about that. I mean, for me, it's interesting, but it's only interesting because it matters to me. And, like, I don't know. Some people like, you know, inside baseball, but I don't know if people really try.
The shooting is a joke for sure, but I started thinking, like, wait a second, like, mishaps have to happen, not just people shooting on buses.
So, okay, if you want to know.
Buses run into people.
That doesn't happen a lot, thankfully.
People run into buses.
That's more, that happens actually more. People try to commit suicide by bus and shit. Somebody tried to do that to me the other day. It was pretty fucked.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.